It is terribly difficult to get out of a rut, or, to extend the metaphor, tram lines. Worthy ideas are pursued, and because they are worthy beyond any doubt, they continue to be pursued. But the result often means that, after a while, no one is gaining any benefit. The great revolution set in train by Sir Adrian Cadbury in his eponymous report 25 years ago is a case in point. There have been a number of events to celebrate the quarter century of achievement and influence, and an enormous amount has been achieved. As someone pointed out the other day, the comply or explain principle, which the subsequent Cadbury Code enshrined, is now in European law. It seems quite remarkable, given the reputation of European law for being prescriptive and frighteningly directive, that something that allows people a choice based on circumstances has been taken on board. And Cadbury has indeed changed the corporate governance world. But it hasn't, inevitably, solved everything. It spawned a report on how to sort out remuneration years ago, and here we are with a Prime Minister still jumping up and down over levels of remuneration. And the whole Cadbury process originally came out of scandals relating to dominant chief executives and what was happening to pension funds. But the tramlines are in place, and the route remains the same. The Cadbury process originated, quite logically and sensibly, out of the accounting world, and so we have the Financial Reporting Council keeping everyone on the straight and narrow. Except that it's not everyone. Because of the accounting roots of the whole process, the FRC can fine an errant CFO if they are a qualified accountant. In that case, the FRC has jurisdiction. But they can't fine them if the miscreant is a non-accountant with, for example, an MBA as a qualification. These days, this makes no sense. The FRC should be allowed to shake off its accounting roots and ancestors and be allowed to take responsibility for companies and their governance regardless of the background of a perpetrator. Such a move would also free up the whole system. Shaking off the accounting roots would enable them to go for a wider remit. Corporate governance ought to be there for the benefit of wider society. And to that end, we need to sort out the section of the Companies Act that defines directors' duties. This is section 172. Currently, it says, in a vague way, that directors should promote the success of the company. Unarguable, but vague. It allows things to drift, and for directors to say that this equates to a simple formula of maximising profits regardless of all else. It doesn't say that, but it doesn't say you can't do that either. At its heart, it's about what people call a licence to operate. Companies are there to build success, but that success should include everyone, from shareholders to employees, and wider stakeholders generally. John Kay, the creator of the report a few years back on how to encourage long-term decision-making, came up with a fine definition the other day. Directors and companies should be measured by their contribution to society in delivering goods and services that people want, in providing financially and emotionally satisfying employment, in earning profits which reward entrepreneurship and innovation, and which underpin returns to long-term savings, and by improving the social and economic life of the communities in which they operate. It really is as simple as that.